one day matters. Like, today is the day that matters. This is the day that sows the seeds for tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist yet. And we see ourselves today. How we envision our future are the ways that we can participate in the conscious co-creating of our life.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode 172. Hey there, it's Tracy Matthews, the host of the show today. I'm the Chief Visionary Officer over at Flourish and Thrive Academy. And today I have a special guest on the show who I feel like needs no introduction, but she is an amazing mentor in my life and is someone who has really changed the way I sort of recovered in a lot of different ways in my life from overcoming, you know, hardship and deciding to take the leap to actually start Flourish and Thrive Academy, but in a very unexpected way. And it was through fitness. And I'm going to share this story about my friend Patricia Moreno, who's on the episode today, talking about strengthening your inner fitness. This is something that we talk about a lot over here at Flourish and Thrive, about overcoming those limiting beliefs that hold us back and keep us stuck, you know, playing in that story that we tell ourselves in our head. And Patricia has a really unique approach and a really pretty phenomenal story. I thought I knew her story, and some of the things that she shared with me on this episode absolutely blew me away from what she overcame from her childhood experiences and how she translated that into real life, into her practice today, which is really amazing. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode. It's a little bit different than normally what we bring here, but I really think that business and life are integrated, and that how we feel about ourselves and how we think about ourselves and what kind of lens we view business through is a huge shaper of our ability to actually succeed in life and business. And so we always need to be working that like inner, you know, confidence muscle. And this is exactly what Patricia is going to help us work through today. So pretty amazing story. I hope that you're inspired, and I would love to hear a little bit more about what you think after today's episode. Before I dive into my introduction of Patricia, I'd love to take a word from our sponsor. The sponsor for today's show is NinaDesigns.com. Visit Nina Designs for jewelry supplies designed by jewelry designers for jewelry designers, including charms, pendants, leather, tassels, and more. For over 30 years, Nina has been inspiring beauty and creativity while caring for people and the planet. And Nina is so cool. Nina Designs is offering Flourish and Thrive Academy and the Thrive by Design audience a really amazing deal. Grab $10 off your wholesale order by going over to ninadesigns.com. You're going to enter the code THRIVE at checkout and you'll get $10 off your wholesale order. So ninadesigns.com, enter the code THRIVE. Get $10 off your wholesale order. I just want to remind you that there is a limit of one per customer. So head on over to Nina Designs after the show's over. Okay, amazing. You are going to love today's show. But before I dive in, I tell a little bit about my story interacting with Patricia as we get started in the interview. But I'll do a formal intro because I like to do that for my guest. Patricia Moreno is the founder of Spiritual Fitness and the creator of the Intensati Method. With over 20 years of teaching and public speaking experience, she's been a trailblazer in the fitness and wellness world for many, many years. Creating integrative practices, innovative workouts, and empowering leader trainings, Patricia has changed the lives of tens of thousands of people worldwide. In an effort to end her own struggle with her weight, eating disorders, and body image issues, she created her signature workout, the Intensati Method, a revolutionary concept that combines the power of positivity, high energy cardio, mindfulness, and meditation, and her daily personal development program, Sati 365, to help people live a life that they love in a body they love every single day. Wait till you hear about this story. It is going to blow your mind. Hopefully it brings tears to your eyes and inspires you to be better. So let's dive in. I am so excited because today I have an amazing guest on the show, and she is someone who's made a huge impact in my life. And I'm going to try not to cry because I've cried so many times in her classes. But today I have the amazing Patricia Moreno on the show. And first of all, Patricia, I want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm super psyched and I want to hear about your crying.
You want to hear me cry? Are you going to make me cry on the show?
I am not going to make you cry. Promise. So,
So I want to give, this is, Patricia's a little bit of an unusual guest for me to have. Her background is in fitness. In fact, she created an entire fitness platform all about combining mantra and affirmations with physical movement. And Patricia, if it's cool, should I give the backstory of like sort of how you're sort of working, like taking your classes and stuff like that?
Please, please.
Okay, cool. So Patricia, years and years ago, it was right when I was starting Flourish and Thrive Academy. How old's your oldest daughter?
She's going to be 8.
It was that long ago?
Yeah.
So about 7 years, she's going to be 8. So 8 years, 8 years ago. Wow. Because Flourish and Thrive's been around for 6. So this must have been the beginning of when I was coming up with the ideas. This is nuts. Okay. So 8 years ago, I can't believe it. That's crazy. The manager of, we both used to teach at Equinox Fitness. I was teaching yoga. I got an email from my friend Sarah, who was like managing the fitness there, saying like, hey, can you pick up Patricia's class on Friday? She's going on maternity leave. She's not sure when she's coming back. You know, this is a, it's a great slot. You should basically like take it. You'd be stupid if you don't, because you run straight to your class in Soho right after and knock 2 classes out in a row. So of course I said yes. And Fridays were sort of like my cheater day anyway. I didn't really like work a full day. And this must have been right around the time when I was starting to think about starting Flourish and Thrive Academy. So I filled in for Patricia for, I think, a couple of years. And she came back about after a year and started teaching her classes again, but she decided not to pick up the yoga class right away. And then eventually decided not to do the yoga class. But she was teaching this amazing dance class right before my yoga class, that which was now my yoga class. So she taught at 9:30. I taught at 10:30. And I started going. I was like, dance is so fun. Oh my gosh, I gotta go. And I entered that class loving to dance, feeling like I had 2 left feet. I'm like, this is not how I dance at weddings. Because I wasn't really trained in like formal like dance class where you follow a routine. I'd gone to more things like figure it out along the way and whatever. So I remember that first class, I was standing in the back. I was like so intimidated to even come back because I felt like I was so silly. To fast forward years and years later, always being one of the people on the front row and being so inspired by Patricia. So long story short, probably, I guess it must have been about 3 years. It just doesn't seem like that long. About 3 years after I took over that yoga class, that I was in your dance class and standing in the front row, and I got injured. And I remember thinking, holy crap, I can't stand on my foot and I gotta get out of here. And like the class was in full motion. And if you know anything about Patricia, she teaches these like high impact and high energy classes, which she'll be sharing with you momentarily. And she does something, she's doing something really amazing now, which will, little segue, we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But she like, I go hopping out of the room on 1 foot. She comes running after me, like mid class or like 10 minutes in or something. Like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm not okay. I don't know what to do. She gets someone else to go run and get me some help. And I feel like that was the sign. And so I can attribute Patricia to the sign of telling me it's time to focus on what you're best at and give up the stuff that's not really, not necessarily that it's not serving you anymore, but it's not taking you to your next level. So this is a roundabout way to set up everything that Patricia is going to talk about today, because I really do believe that it was a powerful message for it to happen in your class of all places, because this is like pretty much your life's work about helping people get to their next level.
True, true. That's so interesting. And it's, you know, what I love the most about that story is your framing of it, right? Because you can easily tell that story in another totally different way. And that's really powerful. And I remember that day. And I also remember talking to you about your business after that too, and really seeing how far you'd come, which I didn't even know any of that about you, that you were a jewelry designer. So that was really impressive.
It was fun. So enough about me. I just wanted to share that because to share like how much you've made an impact on my life so that we can set this episode up for everyone to really be touched by your brilliance, because I think your message is so amazing. And I think that's a great setup for you to tell us a little bit more about you, Patricia, and sort of your background, because you have a really interesting background.
Yeah, thank you. I would love to. Well, I grew up in Northern California, one of 11 kids. I'm the 9th child. And I always start with that because it sets the scene of what would become the foundation of my life's work, I think, as most of our childhood does. But I was really chubby kid, and my mom was very much worried about the thin ideal and looking a certain way. And so when I was 8 years old, she put me on a diet. And I just got fatter and fatter until I was in my early teens, like 12, 13 years old. And I went to the hospital because I had this bone marrow infection in my arm. And I went in chubby and I came out thin, basically. And it was a life-threatening illness. In fact,
oh my gosh.
My dad was sitting by my bed. I had already been in the hospital for a couple of weeks. I was in a lot of pain and no one could figure out how to stop it or what it even really was. And they told my parents that the next day they were going to take me into exploratory surgery because it was my left arm and the infection was traveling closer towards my heart and that they might have to amputate my arm. And as you can imagine, my parents freaked out. I didn't know what was happening. And that night my dad sat by my bed. And he was very much someone who believed in the power of the mind and meditation and visualization. And he sat by my bed and he had me visualize this army of men marching into my arm. Like he dressed them and he told me to imagine what they're wearing. They're wearing this camouflage and they have pails and sticks and they're marching into the infection and they're scooping out the infection and they're cleaning up the hole and then they're marching the infection outside of the arm. And that was the evening. I didn't really think much about it, but the next day the infection was gone.
What?
And the infection was gone. There was no surgery. Obviously, you know me. You know I have two arms.
You have two arms.
I have two arms. They're real. But I didn't realize this until I was about 30 years old. Well, here's another piece of that story is when I came home from the hospital, everyone was so happy, not that I was alive, of course, but that I was alive, but what they were celebrating was my weight loss. And
oh
that just felt wrong. Somehow in my little heart, that didn't land very well. You know, I already had this issue of, I was put in a trance, unworthiness. Like, if my body doesn't look right, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And it just became really the foundation of my life of trying to break this self-concept that in order to be lovable, I had to look a certain way. I needed some certain amount of success. And I really, with every fiber of my being, and even till this day, still trying to reprogram myself that my body is my value, right? My social currency is appearance. And so my family, like everybody celebrated how thin I was. You know, it was just like this, such a mixed message. And then I found exercise when I was about 16. My sister took me to an aerobics class and I just like literally like felt like angels came out of the ceiling. I was like, oh, like this is it. This is what you'll do. I love to dance, but I was always too fat to dance. I loved entertaining. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be a teacher. These were all like things that I had considered that I wanted to do with my life. And it was like, here we are. This is one thing that's going to really cover all of those topics. And I get to fight this fat phobic mentality that I have, right? If I can just win the war on fat, I can be part of changing the world by helping rage the war on fat, which was what I bought into, right? This fat phobic mentality, this thin ideal internalization. But the research shows that thin ideal internalization actually leads to what you would expect, body dissatisfaction, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addictions. And these were all things that I grew into actually having. Eating disorders, I was over-exercising, I was binging, I'm purging, I'm extreme diets with extreme binges, like a complete mess, all because I really believed that I objectified myself, right? As my body was my worth. It was an ornament. It was just for other people's viewing pleasure or not.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that I equated that with love. Like if my parents aren't going to love me unless I look thinner, how could anybody? And I remember being in a yoga class. I was learning to teach yoga. I was in a workshop and I was doing a downward facing dog and the assistant kept coming over to retract my shoulder blade. And, you know, I'm just going to say I had been teaching already for at least 12 years. And not only that, I was like leader in the industry and a fitness champion, not like a bikini fitness champion, like an aerobics champion. So extremely strong, extremely fit, extremely capable. All that to point to the part that I know how to retract my shoulder blade. I know how to retract my shoulder blade. And the fact that this guy came over 10, literally, I am in downward facing dog, kept coming back to tell me to retract my shoulder blade. I sat down in absolute frustration. Like what? And I remember like looking up into the heavens and shaking my fists and saying, what is it? How I cannot retract my shoulder blade? And literally it was like answer. Like I asked the question, boom, like a movie, this video of myself in the hospital and this story about my arm came up and I started hyperventilating, like literally like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I put my hands together. You know, you put like the tips of your hands together. And I realized that my left arm was about 4 inches shorter than my right arm. And I'm telling you, I never realized this until this point. So of course I couldn't retract my shoulder blade. In order to retract my shoulder blade, I'd need a block or a lift underneath my hand. So I run, it was John Friend. I don't know if you know John Friend.
Yeah,
it was
totally.
On Usari Yoga. I ran over to John Friend. I'm like, I know why I can't retract my shoulder blade. My left arm is shorter than my right. And he's like, yeah, I doubt it. He's like, that would only happen if you had a severe injury to your arm. And I said, I did. And the reason I tell that story in relationship to why I do what I do is because all my life, that's just like one part of the story. But there's another part where I'm doing a TV show and the executive producer, I'm doing a live workout show. It's very popular. It's national TV. It's really a great show that leads into a bigger morning show. And after about a year into it, the executive producer calls me into his office and says, you're gaining too much weight. What's up, basically? And I felt like shame, like shower. I wanted to die because I was like, okay, one thing to like binge and purge and weight goes up and down, but kind of hoping nobody really notices. But now you just did this on TV. It was like being naked in front of the whole world. It was just so deep that I found myself going to buy crystal meth as a diet aid after that.
Oh like, my God.
And I'm like, what? And I have the crystal in my hand and it wasn't the first time I used it. I had already used it as a diet aid before. You know, a little sprinkle, you don't eat for 4 days. I wanted to annihilate hunger and cravings and have more energy. It's like, here I am. I'm like trying to sell health and fitness. And I've gotten into this mindset that I have been a part of selling actually, but I didn't get it. I am actually only now starting to understand how detrimental it is to people and that I was literally, my mantra was thin at any cost. And I was at the point where I had to make a decision. I'm going, you're really going to be a drug addict for this? Really? Is this who you are? You're not a drug addict? What is wrong with you? You've got to find a new way. And I literally prayed that night like for an answer. And I feel like there was another moment of grace when I just had this thought of like, I'm not the only one. There's millions and millions and millions of people who are believing that this thin ideal exists, that the body is our value, and that we need to be a certain weight or look a certain way in order to be happy, in order to be lovable, in order to be enough in this society. And I really wanted to find another way, and I wanted to figure out what is it that has so many people yearning for a goal, right? We see it now. It's just this, what they call the obesity epidemic, and the fat phobia just keeps increasing. And yet the fitness industry and the weight beauty industry, it's like $83 billion combined. Yeah. And there's so many books and creams and exercise things. And how come it's not working? How come nobody's like, hello, what's the missing piece? This isn't working. And that's what had me change my whole life around, because it was no longer just about me. It was like, I have to find the solution. There must be just something missing here. Why isn't anybody looking for what the other piece of that puzzle is? And what I came to believe is that this feeling of unworthiness is not going to be solved by a number on the scale. It's a spiritual problem. And we keep trying to solve a spiritual problem with a physical solution. Diet harder, work out more, get that body, get the liposuction, get the lips, get the boobs, get the go. And it's such a toxic self-concept that we carry and we buy into and we inherit and we pass on, that unless we wake up from identifying ourselves as a body, we can't really create the thriving life and the thriving business and the thriving relationships that we really are really craving for. And I really wanted to devote my life to figuring that out and talking about it.
So this is like so powerful because, you know, obviously your story really comes in from like the outer physical perspective. I work with thousands of designers who experience the same kind of issues based on insecurity about like, is my art good enough? Is this good enough? Is that good enough? So I think like all this stuff is relatable. What it really comes down to is like feeling, like believing and feeling like you deserve whatever it is that's going on. And I think that your message is so profound. I mean, it's so crazy how many similarities we have in our story. We never really talked about all this. I did not have almost get my arm cut off, but you know, I am one of 8 kids. We both come from big families, which I would think we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. I'm the second oldest though. I had anorexia and bulimia when I was a teenager. I was obsessed with fitness. I mean, I've entered the fitness industry, but like from a different perspective, teaching yoga because I thought it was a more mindful practice, but still at a certain extent, getting obsessed with that, and have always been someone who's worked on overcoming, I don't want to call it like inner demons, but maybe in a way, like those things that prevent you from actually stepping into what it is that you're supposed to be. And so I'm so glad to have you talk about this because I think it's a really important conversation. And I don't think that this episode is just about body image. It's about everything that happens on the inside.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to bring it down to a nugget that we can really all relate to. And which is, I think what you're getting at too, is here's the biggest problem. I think that we can all start to pay attention to and notice is when we have the self-denigrating voice in our head, right? I'm not good enough because, and all of this inner narrative, when we start comparing ourselves, it can be about anything, any conversation in our mind that we represent ourselves as being of little worth, unworthy of respect, unworthy of love, unworthy of success. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. This verbalization and focusing only on our faults, no matter what they are, or failures, or, you know, the faults in our character, that's called unreasonable self-denigration. And it is we become our own worst enemy. And the problem with this is it's so much worse than self-criticism because it inevitably leads to a rapid and severe erosion of self-confidence and self-esteem. Like that voice, we kind of don't even listen to it, but it's this background whisper in our ear. And we believe it's true because it's our voice. But so much of what we're repeating is all of this stuff that we've just like soaked in around us, our parents, our father's side, our mother's side, our society, our culture. It's like, we got to get down to what's the truth about us and that we can rewrite that inner conversation. Because if we don't, it really will lead to blocking any of our optimal living in health, in wealth, in success, in relationships. And that's one place that we can actually work in a real way to change.
Okay, that is amazing. And so my next question after your intro was really going to be like about the shift in the fitness industry, about how you kind of shifted your medium for teaching exercise. Because up until about a few months ago, you were still teaching classes. Mm-hmm. You made a shift. And if you want to share that, you can share that, like, you know, as this goes. But tell us a little bit about the transition with your fitness modality. And then I want to kind of shift into some of the mindset work that you actually teach people.
Awesome.
So tell me a little bit more about like where that shift came. Like you realized there was this huge problem. You were like, you became like drenched in it or in whatever you want to say it.
Yeah.
And then you shifted to insensati. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So after I had that episode of, am I going to be a drug addict or am I not going to be a drug addict? It was like, literally like, am I really just going to get on the diet and exercise treadmill again and just go back in? Or am I going to really try to carve a new lane here? And so I decided to carve a new lane and started to really just go out on the road and study. And a lot of where I dove into was spirituality, right? Because if you think about, you know, I went to 12-step programs. I've been in this arena for so long, trying to overcome eating disorders and all of this self-image problem. And a lot of the piece that kept coming up in all of the 12-step rooms or the yoga or meditation or the mindfulness areas that I was diving deeper in was the spiritual aspect that was never being addressed. And I remember being in a retreat in Fiji and Deepak Chopra was talking. He was talking about self-concept and he said, one of the things that we have to remember when we're trying to create change is that we always have to live true to our self-concept. Like our concept is everything we say after the word I am. It's what we really believe to be true about ourselves. And unless you change your self-concept, you can't change your life. And I remember leaving that conversation and going to take a shower and just kind of contemplating it. And I just had this flashback of, oh my God, no wonder. Like I would lose weight and gain weight and lose weight and gain weight, but it just felt like I never overcame the real problem. Like this just this problem that it felt like I just couldn't get over. And when he said that, I just remembered going to the gym and saying, I'm so fat I have to work out. I'm so fat I have to diet. I'm so fat. Like no matter what weight I was, whether it was 5 pounds more I wanted to lose or 50 pounds more I wanted to lose, that mantra, that self-concept was ingrained deeply into how I identified myself. From the when I was little, the nanny used to call me the chubby one. Like it was just part of my identity. I really believe that my identity was fat or unlovable, right? Fat is not a bad thing. And I'm trying not to use that word in this derogatory way because I'm actually trying to break the habit, not just for myself, but for people shouldn't use the word fat as derogatory. But I was larger than what this whole social okayness was about. And when he said that, I thought, wow, that's what a big problem is that we haven't rewritten our self-concept. We keep trying to change our weight so we feel better about ourselves. But truly, we have to feel better about ourselves. Then we can handle all those other things. And then the other piece was I was in the Bahamas and I was at a Tony Robbins event. And he was talking about in order to change, in order to, let's say, be able to do those calls that you have to make or eat the foods that you think would be better for your health or have that conversation that's difficult when you don't feel like it is you have to be in a state, the consciousness, you have to be in a feeling state of something that would actually have you act in a better way. So if I want to do that phone call, but I don't feel brave enough, I put myself in a state of courage and then I make the phone call as opposed to just trying to make the phone call. So he's saying you can activate peak states of being, but you just have to know it takes your language. What are you saying? Your focus. What are you focusing on? Like, how are you telling that story? And your physiology. Are your shoulders back? Are your shoulders slumped? Are you breathing fast? Are you breathing regularly? So those are the three things. And when we align those three things consciously, we can activate these peak states of being within us. So you don't have to wait to lose the weight to feel good. You feel good, then you lose the weight. You don't have to wait to feel lovable. When you have the lover, you get yourself to love yourself and then blah, blah, blah. You get it, right?
Yeah, totally.
So I'm on the beach and we are now going outside, hundreds of us, and we're marching on the beach and we're all chanting, all I need is within me now. All I need is within me now. Like hundreds of us, like one voice, super strong. And I'm on the beach and I get like another firecracker moment, like thunderbolt. And I go, oh my God, this is it. This is it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my expertise in fitness and dance and martial arts, and I'm going to combine it with this ability to teach people how do we activate the states that will lead to the behavior that we want that leads to who we want to be, right? I'm going to create, he called them incantations, affirmations with movement and using your voice, using your body, using your breath, using your focus so that you're literally invoking a feeling of success. Because you have to think from, not about who you want to be. But you want to have success in any area. You can't think, oh, one day I will be successful. Because to say I will be, what you're saying is I am not. But if you say I am successful, and you find ways to prove that evidence is true, then what happens is everything you do from that state will keep promoting that state. Really, really powerful. So what I thought is, now he's going to leave us. He tells us to do incantations. He didn't tell us what incantations do. He didn't tell us how long to do them, what they should be. He just said, do them. So I said, I'm going to create a workout, a practice that has to train body, mind, and spirit. Because in order to achieve any goal, you have to focus on all those three elements. You have to see yourself as a whole person coming to this goal or this problem. And I wanted to create a way to help people activate peak states, positive states, before they get the goal, not after they get the goal, so that they have real power over who they are, not just about what they accomplish, because we can be happy with little. And that's really almost the goal in some ways.
It absolutely is, which is so interesting that you said that, because I just wrote down the word goal, because goal seekers, myself included, will do the work and then reach the goal, but then the goal is not good enough. And so then they want the next goal. Mm-hmm. And so you're always going to be revising the goal. So I think the important message here is to really be working on the inside. And I don't know if I ever even told you this. Like one of the, like a whole module, like training in one of our courses, or laying the foundation course, is completely dedicated to creating affirmations around your business and believing that what you want is already here and true. Because one of the ways that I went from going from building a business to close to a million in revenue and being in 350 stores around the world and having all this press, and on the outside, everything looked amazing and people were like, wow, you're so successful. Me on the inside feeling like, oh, I suck, I'm not good enough. And then having that all crumble once the economy crashes, trying to rebuild after that, like, you know, even just from an ego perspective, was like really, really tough. And so I dove deep into a lot of heavy mindset work, because I thought that I had these beliefs that I was a terrible business person, that I didn't deserve success, that I would never be able to hold on to money, and all these things. So I went on this deep exploration. I remember it started working with a friend of mine. She was like doing some coaching. She's like, I want you to be my guinea pig. And in as a trade, I want you to mentor my mom. So we did this trade because her mom really needed some business help. And I was in a place where I couldn't really see like how good I was at certain things. And then that led to me going to like one of those $1 million mind intensives, where I really focused hard on shifting my beliefs about money, because that was, I felt like one of the biggest issues of mine was believing, can I hold on to money? You know, it's like, is every dollar I make going to be spent plus another 50 cents or something like that? And it was a process. And so what I saw was that when I really focused on these affirmations and I took inspired actions towards reaching what it is that I wanted to achieve, and I kept moving forward and staying positive, those things just started to happen naturally and it became really easy. And it wasn't a challenge anymore. And it wasn't all the stuff that I believed was to be true. That was all stuff that I was making up in my mind.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story, because it's, you know, we really have to remember that we are so powerful. Like we underestimate how powerful we are, how powerful that voice is, and the fact that we actually are so blessed as human beings. We're the only beings on the earth that can self-reflect and actually make these changes, right? We're not a tree. We're not stuck where we are. But it requires, it's like learning to play the piano or learning a new language. It requires practice and it requires a real commitment, because if we've been a lot of years thinking I'm not good at this or I'm not whatever enough, those are neural pathways. Those are, they're ingrained in the brain, the structure of the brain. And we can actually change that, as you know, through self-awareness and mindset work. And I think it has to be, and I think that's the biggest part of the weight loss industry and self-improvement industry, is we don't spend enough time on the inside and we spend way too much time focusing on the outside, whatever that is, and that it needs to be all three.
It needs to be all three, which is so important. I want to shift here, and I was just thinking, I had this like aha light bulb, but I'm going to save it for later, but I'll just say it now because I just thought of it. When you were saying something about, yeah, he asked if my shoulders were slumped or if I was sitting up tall or whatever, you were like referencing that when you're in like a workshop or whatever. I just noticed I was like super hunched over, so I'm sitting super erect right now. It's so funny. I'm like, work on your
posture. Me too.
So funny. Anyway, so all this stuff is like really amazing. Like I love hearing your story. Like I learned so much more about you than I even knew. And I felt like I knew after going to your classes for like 5, 6 years or 8 years, I guess now it's been, I didn't realize it was 8 years. It's like crazy. Like kind of how an impact, like listening to your Dharma talks, because I would go to your dance class and then you would teach your Intensati class, which is the movement with affirmation. Because I was like an over-exerciser and a workout fanatic, I made a goal for myself that I wasn't going to do that anymore. So I'm always like in awe of people who do doubles, but I've refused to do them because I just can't, because it brings me back to a place where I don't want to go again. So it's like for me, more self-preservation, but I would sit there and stay and just listen to your Dharma talks. And I call them Dharma talks because that's what you call them in yoga. But your powerful lessons and teaching about mindset and shifting the way that we think about ourselves. And, you know, I think one thing that I know about being around you is that you have this natural ability to bring out joy in people who have experienced really dark, deep things in their lives, and to help transform, you know, people, what, regardless of what they think their problems are, into a place where they believe that anything is possible, and they start going after it. And I think that this is, even though I was more a student of your dance class than your Intensati program for the reason that I spoke about before, the message that you always delivered in class was about leveling up. And the music that you curated, the dance to and all that stuff was always about, you helped me get over so many breakups and, you know, so many business issues with like, you know, getting to my next level and stuff like that just by being you. And so not everyone is going to be able to sit in a dance class with you because you're making pivot these days. So I want to just talk a little bit more now about sort of what you're focused on now and some tactical, practical tools that people can take away from this episode that they can use in their daily life to actually like start to reframe.
Yeah, awesome. I definitely will. So now what I'm doing, since I'm not teaching so many live classes anymore, and my God, I'm so grateful for that, is I'm really focusing on expanding how I reach people and serve people from all of those three perspectives, even though Intensati and the workout itself really does focus on the mental, spiritual, and the physical. You can't do that every day. And it's not even what everybody wants to be doing as the thing that gets them to open up or be stronger physically, mentally, and spiritually. So I wanted to create something that people could do online, something that it's really about starting your day in this empowered way using mantras, goal setting, affirmations, visualization, and positive emotion activation. And it really is meant to kind of teach us all like one day matters. Like today is the day that matters. This is the day that sows the seeds for tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist yet. And how we see ourselves today, how we envision our future are the ways that we can participate in the conscious co-creating of our life. And that we really, unless we do take time to actually do that consciously, then we're on default. And it's very, very difficult to change the direction of your life without consistency. And so Sati 365 was created as a way to really help people not only work out, but meditate and visualize and really consciously create the life that really is in alignment with what they feel is their real soul's purpose. And so I've been putting a lot of work into that because I think that the little tiny steps, consistent small steps, is really the way to go. Because it doesn't freak us out so much. So yeah. A lot of what I'm doing is that online and then also teaching people to teach Intensati so that it keeps growing even though I'm not physically teaching classes on a regular basis.
That's amazing. So give us one or two tactical things that like if someone's listening to this that they could like go, okay, like tomorrow morning I want to try it on for size. Like give us a sampling of what you would do in Sati 365.
Yeah. So what we would do is really one, get clear about not just what's important, but why it's important, right? I want to lose weight because I want to feel sexy. I want to feel strong. I want to feel lovable. Like the real story. You don't have to like pretend what it is. You're trying to get to what is the feeling you're chasing? Mm-hmm. What's the feeling you're chasing? So if you can get a hold of what's the feeling you're chasing, and you know, usually it comes down to feeling good or strong, empowered, lovable, whatever. And then you start to go, well, here's my game. My game today is to activate this feeling for any reason at all. So let's say I want to have my business, you know, I'm doing this, I'm launching the course, Sati 365 in September. You know, I want this to be successful. And then I think about, okay, why do I want it to be successful? I want to fulfill my feeling that I am valued, right? That I've left something of value, that I've really helped people attain what they value. So for me, I want to feel valued. And so then I think, well, how can I do that today? And I think, well, I can feel valued just by affirming I'm valued. I can feel valued just by looking at how I'm with my kids, like really seeing all the value that I offer as a mom, as a wife, and try to bring it down into little tiny nuggets so that, oh, yeah, yeah, it does matter that I do this. I am valuable here. Yes, I do make a difference. And if you can find that one feeling that you're chasing and you can encourage yourself to feel that, and then I want to give you one more piece. Name that feeling. Name that feeling. So I'm going to use valued just because that's what came up for me today, right? So if I'm feeling valued, how does embodiment of that feeling look like? So if I'm feeling valued, my shoulders are back, I move with ease. There's not a lot of rushing or anxiety moving back and forth. My face has a slight little smile. I'm usually dressed differently, right? I dress in a way where I feel like it matters as opposed to just sweats and a ponytail all the time. So what does value look like and how does she move and how does she talk and how does she feel? And try to evoke that person already, because then you're thinking from where you want to be, not about where you want to be. And that's It's super simple, but you've got to also remember you're doing this consciously because you're trying to activate the feeling. Because if you sow the seed, if I give you an apple seed and I say, okay, plant this apple seed, and you put it in the ground and you water it and there's sunlight and you look at it and you're like, grow, please give me some bananas this year. Give me some bananas. But you planted an apple seed, people are like, you're crazy. What is wrong
exactly.
with you? You know that you can't get bananas from an apple seed. If you want bananas, you have to plant bananas. And we do that all the time, right? Oh, mm-hmm. I suck. I'm not good enough. It's never going to work out. And then we think one day we're going to end up on Happiness Island. And it just doesn't work that way. You have to sow the seeds of the future that you want to step into. So you have to start by how you feel today.
Sow the seeds of the future by how you feel today.
You want to sow the seeds of the future today.
Today.
By encouraging that feeling for no reason at all. You don't need a reason to feel grateful. You don't need a reason to feel valued. You don't need a reason. But you know what that looks like in somebody. Shoulders back, slight smile, walking with confidence. And it sounds a little fake it till you make it. But the difference is when you're understanding all of the science behind it, the neuroscience, that you're literally creating a map in your brain to the future that you want to step into, but you're not putting your happiness on that. You're not saying, when I XYZ, I'll be happy. You're saying, I'm happy and XYZ will come or won't come, but I'm more creative, I'm more consistent, my relationships are better when I cultivate that feeling like it's already done.
That's amazing. So I want to bring this back to something, an issue that a lot of our listeners have, especially when they're starting out, because I think this mindset work, while it's powerful at any stage in business, it can help you propel you faster than you ever expected to when you're either just starting out or you're stuck like in the sort of nascent stages of business. And I remember when I was starting over and feeling like I didn't deserve to earn money and having like money panic, I was really focused on generating income. And one of the exercises that I did is to understand, like I got really clear on why that mattered to me. And what I came to realize about myself is that money will make me feel safe and offer security. Mm-hmm. It would allow me to reach a bigger audience. It would allow me to, in a roundabout way, because I, you know, obviously I was building a business based on something I'm passionate about and like an art form, because I was selling jewelry at that time, was that it would allow me to create value for other people and add, brighten up their day with something beautiful that I created, mm-hmm. which means that my art is out there in the world, like shining a light on people and making them happy when they look at it.
Mm.
And so for me, those were some of the reasons why that was important, because I think a lot of people look at this like money's not everything. But if you think about the reasons why, you know, I live in New York City. It's expensive to live here. And if I wasn't going to be able to figure it out, like I could have, I wouldn't probably have, knowing myself, I would have never gotten to a place where I was homeless, but potentially I could have if I went down that rabbit hole, because it costs a lot to live here. And, you know, there are immediate financial needs that I needed to reach. And at the same time, I didn't have someone else, like a partner or someone else, like contributing to my household income. So it was like something I needed to figure out really quickly. And so for all of you out there who are thinking, how can this apply to me? I want you to think about where you're getting stuck in your business, where you're getting stuck in your life, because I think that life and business are very reflective of each other. And if you're having issues with your fitness, because I think that the body is your temple and like the first place that you need to start with the inside in order to sort of affect all areas in your life, like Patricia has talked about. What is it that's holding you up? And then what is that feeling that you want to create that is the opposite of that? Because this is where the growth starts. So Patricia talks a lot about fitness because she is in the fitness industry and that's her road. But we all have our own road, or maybe cross to bear or something. I don't know what you want to call
it. Yeah, but we all have a body, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And no matter what, you feel your emotions in your body.
So true.
You're in your body. And so relating to your body as more than just an object to be seen, but as really how you get, this is how you get your creativity. This is how you have intuition. This is how your feelings are what drive everything. And so reconnecting to your body and really valuing it, not because of how it looks, but for its ability to help you do what you love, is really, really, really important. And I think it really is the foundation for you being able to do your best work no matter what it is.
And Patricia, I know you'd agree with me, but like they have everything that they need inside of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're like our own, we're our own heroes. There's no one coming out to say, here's the way. Like, you still have to do it. You still have to actually take the steps. And one of the things if you can just remember that you can never hate yourself into success. You have to really watch the language you use in your own mind. And even if it feels fake, you turn it around and find some way to shift that internal dialogue, because otherwise you really keep yourself a prisoner of where you are.
That's amazing. Patricia, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was awesome. Do you have something that you want to share with the audience where they can find you?
And yes, definitely. Awesome. Well, the course that I'm talking about starts in January, so it's a while away. So what we've created was a waiting list, patriciamorano.com/365. And when you sign up for the waiting list, we have quizzes and we have behind the scenes things, and we're going to be sending you stuff about the course and other ways that you can participate if the course doesn't feel like something that's for you. But it's your best way to be fed more information about everything that's going on. And then always Instagram, Patricia Moreno 33. And I do Facebook Lives every weekday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard, on my community Facebook page.
Every single weekday?
Every day at 1 o'clock, yes.
Oh my God, you're amazing. That's a lot. I love it. But Patricia's awesome, you guys. Go stalk her, because she is, I mean, in a friendly, like, fanboy way. Because she really is amazing. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot, especially in our closed doors behind the community, about how certain people have changed my life. She's one of the people who really had a big impact from, you know, fitness perspective. I don't know. I think if it wasn't for me getting that sign in your class, that I would necessarily be here today and would probably still be teaching yoga, and Flourish and Thrive Academy would just be a dream. But I'm just really grateful for you and all that you do. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today. It was my pleasure to bring you this amazing episode. If you're interested in learning more about Patricia, Intensati, or Sati365, we'll definitely have links over in the show notes. Head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/episode172. And we'll have all the links that we spoke about in today's show note, including links and special offers from our sponsor for today's episode. So make sure that you check out our sponsor. And I'd also love for you to head on over and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't done so yet. And then pop by and give us a little rating or review so that we know how we're doing, because we'd love, love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. This is Tracy Matthews signing off. Until next time.